Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And with me today is Jeremy Thake. Hello.
Hi,
welcome.
How are you?
Good. Long time no see.
In the same time zone and continent.
I know, which is very rare these days, actually. But today we wanted to cover off hackathons, and we've been doing a pretty big push this whole fiscal year to get hackathons teed off at various events, not necessarily our events that we're running, but also partnering with third-party events and getting some virtual ones as well that we'll talk about a bit later. But let's cover off the ones that you've done this year.
Yeah, so it's been fun. Like, we've had a lot of interest in these hackathons as a way of learning of what we do with APIs and the add-ins. So not necessarily just, we want to see someone present back and demos and code in person and sit there and just kind of seep it all in by osmosis, but actually hands-on presentations and then hands-on actually labs that you walk through and then come up with an idea and build something. And so people like that kind of exploratory way because it sinks in a lot more. Like, I can sit there for an hour and watch a video, but at the end of the video or 2 days later, I'm not going to remember it. Whereas if I'm actually writing the code,
it's the hands-on,
sinks in more, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then obviously the beta of you win an Xbox One for your entire team each, or Surface Pro 4s has obviously enticed a lot of people to attend these hackathons as well.
It has. I've seen the, the giveaways or the prizes definitely at the end have, but also they get really excited when we say, well, look, you do this, you sit there for a couple hours, you know, we'll help you along. But then at the end of the day, you walk out with a mostly working app, in whatever language it is that you're comfortable in. But you have something to go off and build upon after that, right? And not just a code sample that you may or may not look at after the conference.
Right. And the nice thing is, like, for each of the events we've been to, we've had technical writers that write our actual documentation and build our code samples that live on dev.office.com. We have the program managers that are the ones speccing all those features in the APIs for Word and Outlook and PowerPoint, Excel, and then the actual APIs themselves on the Microsoft Graph as well and the SDKs.
Yep.
And so having those people there for us benefits us because the program managers get to see how people get started. And, you know, for instance, we did an Android conference that you went to where they were really strong into Android, and we've not had much exposure to those guys
in the real
world.
Yeah.
And so having our tech writers and our program managers sit there and see these guys with Android skills typically on a Mac, learn how to call our APIs via dev.office.com has been really worthwhile for us to kind of get that hands-on experience.
It was a great experience, to be honest with you, because that was the first one that I was able to make it to.
That's right.
Very fun. A lot of people super engaged. And it's interesting because we always find the auth piece of it, or that initial that being the initial stumbling block that a lot of people need to get through.
Yep.
And these folks just got it, right? Yep. So we said, go into Android Studio, go do your thing, here's the ADOL library, set it up. And they were way past that within the first half an hour.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And they were already starting to engage us about, okay, well, how do I call this API and what does this one actually give me back? And can I do, you know, this other scenario? So they had a bunch of different use cases that actually we'd never seen or thought through either.
Right.
So as you mentioned, the writers and the PMs were super engaged and helping everyone along through into the wee hours of the night. So
that's
it was
right.
good.
The
it was
typical
really
hackathon
fun.
Approach.
Yeah, exactly.
And so on the dev.office.com in the back here, in the left-hand side, we've got this hackathons link you can click on. And the beauty of this post the events is you can actually go in. So if I scroll down here for the moment, just to that one we just mentioned, that was AndEdCon, which was in Santa Clara in California in December. And when you click see the details, it'll jump into our devpost.com site.
Yep.
So these are the things we can run in person. People can sign up as participants prior to the event if they're an attendee of the event. But the nice thing is, if I click over on submissions, is you can see all the things that were submitted as part of that hackathon, and we can click through to each one. So, for instance, I know the travel log one, for instance, was one of the faves out of this experience. And you can go in there and watch that video on exactly what they built, and it's the developers talking about the experience they had and what they actually built. Now, in this case, that is something really neat, and I know you were there for that. Do you want to explain that one?
Yeah,
you saw it?
Absolutely. So they, as I mentioned, these were a great example of the types of folks I talked about earlier who were just completely into it right from the beginning, where they got the authentication piece and got past that stumbling block. And they actually said, well, we want to work with the OneNote APIs, and we want to get new OneNote pages and be able to save things off and stuff like that. But they went beyond that, where they could actually use the native functionality of their Android phones, create, you know, click a new picture and actually have it save off into OneNote. So the scenario is this travelogue thing where you're often traveling somewhere and you want to take notes and you want to keep a log of your experiences with pictures attached and stuff like that. And so it was great because it actually used a lot of the native functionality of the phone and then pushed it into OneNote pretty seamlessly. And they had a really great real-life refresh experience that happened as well between the two, right? Yeah. So they actually showed you posting something into the app on the phone, and then within a couple seconds it would sync into OneNote, which was really cool.
And I think the nice thing about this is, although OneNote is a really powerful tool and OneNote exists on an Android device, the ability to use the API to do the same thing as what the native app would do on the device, but in a way that makes sense for that particular flow that you're doing. In this case, I'm logging about the particular travel trip. So it's taken a more structured approach of capturing the information in the mobile app, but then storing it almost in an unstructured way in OneNote by the notion of, I have a notebook, I have sections, and I have pages. Mm-hmm. And it was a really novel way of leveraging OneNote as almost that storage mechanism in the background. And having that ability to have multiple people have that mobile app open, and as the OneNote changed in the background, they were refreshing the mobile apps on each device, was a really cool way of showing the power of kind of OneNote as unstructured storage in the background in OneDrive.com.
Exactly.
So that one was really neat. And
the
cool thing about these projects as well is that kind of they explain what APIs they're using in the dev post. But also at the bottom here, you can actually jump into the GitHub repos. So if you're a Android developer and you wanted to actually go and check out the code of how they built this thing using the OneNote API, you can go into GitHub, clone the repo, and actually run that project up and try the code for yourself. Or like I tend to do is like pinch little bits of snippets that if I'm wanting to kind of build my own OneNote application, having these things under the hood available to you is really useful as well.
Exactly.
So the and DevCom one was great. Now, an additional thing about if you're an Android developer was in the Explore tab in dev.office.com, you'll notice we have the products. If I was interested in building for Word or building for OneNote, but we also have this thing notion of being building on a platform as well. And so now when you launch to dev.office.com/Android, you can see here now we've got very kind of direct targeting information specifically for you as an Android developer, whereas it's step-by-step instructions. In this case, we've got them in Markdown in GitHub where, you know, it assumes you don't know anything about the Microsoft Graph and the APIs, and also that you're working with a blank project in Android Studio.
Yep.
So you can follow the bouncy ball and get your project running connected to those Microsoft Graph in a really easy way. And that was Richard DeZeriger, I know he's on the show a lot, and obviously co-host of the podcast, put that together, and people loved that right at the event.
Want to hear a funny story?
Go.
So I get there and I'm like, you know, I should probably actually do this before before I try to help people along with it, right?
Yeah.
And so I sat down and I didn't have Android Studio installed even, right? That's how completely clean slate that was.
Yeah.
Sat down, got it installed, installed JVM, installed all the other stuff that I needed, and then actually personally, without any help from anyone else, walked through and had an Android app on my phone within about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Which was really exciting.
And that was using the Android SDKs, which you can all download from this area as well. And, you know, for instance, on the Graph site, when you jump over to the Graph site, underneath the samples and SDKs, you can see here you've got the code samples for Android, but you've also got this ability to get the SDK directly from here as well.
Exactly.
So that hackathon was really useful in the sense that it allowed us to show you the power of kind of getting up to speed with the APIs. In that scenario, it was the kind of the OneNote API.
Yeah.
There was other examples in the Android thing where they were using the Calendar API and the Files API with OneDrive in the background as well, kind of leveraging those services inside that mobile application.
There was another one that was actually pretty interesting where he got, which one was it? It was the Dream Volunteer, right?
Yep.
So he actually picked from an Office 365 group, right?
Yep.
So he hooked into your Office 365 groups, and then you could pick a group, and then it would say, well, I want a random volunteer. So it was just a random number generator in the back end that would pick out a random person.
So it was
using
the members API of the group's endpoint.
Exactly.
Nice, okay.
So
and that was how it was doing the volunteering.
Yeah. So we should use this for our team,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, we can go get, you can go get my lunch every week, and I'll just fudge the randomization in the background to always pick your
name.
Yeah,
and I'll make sure that you're the one that randomly gets selected to go to Sydney.
Yeah, that's great.
All the time.
Randomly.
Randomly, yes.
And so that those hackathons for Android was really cool.
Yeah.
And if we could just quickly go back to the hackathons in terms of some of the other events that we've had going on. The Dev Intersections was kind of our first one here. And if I just pop that open here with the submissions. And one of the cool ones here was actually a student team called GitKat. Mm. And it was kind of like a mic on KitKat, the chocolate bar.
Yes.
And what they actually built was really neat. They had this scenario where actually it was Scott Hanselman was there with us in person helping at the hackathon at the beginning. And he was seeding ideas to the teams after they'd understood what the challenge was. And they built a Word task pane add-in that allowed you to navigate through your GitHub repos and then navigate through to a file in that GitHub repo and then inject the code from that GitHub file, like whether it's a CSS file, a JavaScript file, into the Word document, but then add the reference. So it's almost like using the gists that are built out of the box with GitHub, but making that native to a Word support aspect. Now, what they were trying to get going was, is if I went and did a commit to GitHub and the GitHub repo changed and I opened my Word document with this task pane, would it push the updates?
Yeah.
Now, Scott was kind of a little bit selfish in this. He still writes a lot of books.
Yeah.
And so for someone who's a book author that has kind of these snippets injected into their chapters, that typically that's how these publishers work, is that rather than having to go through and update all those code snippets in his Word document, he could just use this tool.
Yeah.
Now, there was five students from ranging from ages of 14 to 17. They took kind of 8 hours to get this thing up running from scratch. They had zero experience with Office.js before that. Mm. And they got this up and running, talking to the GitHub APIs as well.
That's awesome.
Inside the browser. So it was really neat to kind of see that kind of experience there as well. And those guys won Surface Pros in the end. They all had Xboxes, so we flipped the Xboxes and gave them Surface Pros instead. So.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was quite funny. He had a very old legacy laptop, like it was very
like
almost
one of the
an
big,
inch thick.
Yeah.
That was a hand-me-down from his old man,
those.
And the other guys were teasing him because he has such a big laptop. So it was good to kind of get him a nice new shiny Surface Pro as well.
Very cool.
So yeah, that again, and the other thing they did was they shared this out too. So in all of these submissions, when you look at the GitHub repos, you can actually go through and look at that code. And in all these cases where we were judging, we were pulling down the code and running them.
Yep.
And you know, it was great to be able to get them running on your own machine and so forth as well. So it's a good exploratory thing for people who are just looking intrigued about how people are building these things, on what stacks, what JavaScript frameworks are they using, and things like that. So
well, it also decreases maybe some of the hesitation that people have about entering the hackathons, even if they are at the events, because you can see a lot of this stuff is not uber complex, right? It's just getting past the hurdle of creating the new project, getting the auth going, which I honestly think is the hardest part of it.
Yeah.
And we've tried to make that as simple as possible across all the different platforms. And then really just connecting into some of the APIs and doing something relatively cool with it. So
yeah, and actually worth pointing out with the auth, like there was different angles we were doing. Like obviously there's the registration process for the application
itself,
which I know we've been through a lot in this show. But one of the interesting things was is as part of the Microsoft Graph aspect here is we have this app registration built directly in here. And you can see here we have this app registration tool that's natively in dev.office.com, which you can flow through whether you're using your Microsoft account or your work or school account. And you don't have to go into the Azure Management Portal
to do
that.
Anything. Nope.
And so, you know, where we had some issues with signing up for Azure in the first place because you've got to use credit cards and mobile verifications, by going down this path, we've eliminated that, so it gets people up to speed a lot quicker and getting them that client ID that they need to drop in their code so that when their mobile app runs, the Azure service trusts them as, okay, they've got the client ID that matches and jumping it through.
Yeah, and so I used this when I did the step-by-step walkthrough during AndevCon, and it's super simple.
Yep.
Like you never have to go into Azure. You don't have to do any of that. It just spits out the client ID for you, copy paste, you're done.
Now, having all that management aspect for Azure is really important for IT
pros
very important. Or production pro developers that are managing, like in my environment, I've got hundreds of applications there. But this is really about just initially creating it, getting into that environment.
Exactly.
And you can go in after the fact and look in Azure Management Portal and see it. But it's just that initial creating that client ID is just so much slicker going through that experience and takes away a lot of the initial kind of understanding of what is the Azure Management Portal if I've never used that before.
And then why are there 50 different buttons and options and what am I doing? Right.
Yeah. Because, so it kind of just streamlines exactly what they're after, which is a client ID and some permissions associated with it.
Exactly.
So that one was really cool. And then if I jump back over to hackathons again, and I scroll down, one of the other really exciting ones was from Angular Connect. So again, totally different audience for us, web developers using the Angular 1, in some cases Angular 2 framework, which was announced in beta just
yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. And then if I go on the submissions here, they had some fun. It was a Back to the Future themed day because the hackathon actually ran
on the
Back to the Future anniversary. But there was two here that were really, really nice. If I just open up this one here, just to kind of give you guys an idea about what kind of things people were building. Mm. This one here, they were a team that built in the past Chrome add-ins.
Okay.
And so with their Chrome add-ins, and obviously you can see in my browser, I've got a bunch in the top right, including the Office one, which is really, really useful for seeing documents and being able to jump it straight into Word Online, opened into your most recently used. But they built one where essentially it scanned your inbox and it looked for mails that had unsubscribe
links,
hyperlinks in them, and then presented to you that in a drop-down. And then you could click in each of those links and it would open up in a new tab directly the unsubscribe thing. Mm. So you didn't have to go for your Outlook,
and
click on the mail,
the link,
and then go find the unsubscribe link, typically hidden miraculously in the footer of the
email. Unreadable text.
And so you can see here, you know, like they've listed them here, and you can actually have it so that it just hit those pages automatically, or the magic unsubscribe all button that would do it all for you without having to click on them at all.
I need this.
And so that was really neat that they managed to kind of get that notion of calling the API, doing a search on mails within your inbox, and then also then presenting that up, and then having the ability then to actually do those unsubscribe actions for you.
Very cool.
All from Chrome, and it'll open up the tabs and so forth for those unsubscribe links. So that was really, really neat. And then the other one that I really, really liked was on the similar vein to the GitHub injecting the code. Mm. This was another big pain point, which, to be honest, is being eliminated a little bit by Visual Studio Code and their support for Markdown right now and the preview of the Markdown and so forth. Mm. And actually, the latest updates made it super easy as well. So if you're writing Markdown and you're not using Visual Studio Code, you really should go check it out.
Yeah.
But these guys had this notion that they had Word documents and they wanted the ability to take whatever the contents of the Word document was, including images, table formats, and so forth, and basically push that magic button in the task pane on the right-hand side and create the equivalent Markdown syntax.
Very cool.
So they were using some libraries to do that. Some of it, they were parsing the OpenXML of the Word document that they were pulling over themselves. And then you could go and grab that Markdown and paste that directly into a Markdown file that you then commit into GitHub or wherever you're storing your Markdown files.
So that's really awesome.
It was something that, you know, I've done personally myself, where we take things and we put it in documentation and where we collaborate in real time in Word, and then we want to take that and make it a Markdown and put it in GitHub. And so that was a really neat kind of application, again, leveraging the Office.js APIs from within that task pane HTML app as well, which was cool.
Yeah.
And again, these guys that had no experience with Office.js, they were web developers.
Yeah.
They went to devdocs.com, they grabbed a few samples, was tearing out the, how do I get the body content using Office.js, and how do I host this thing inside of Word, and we're up and running really quickly, which was really exciting.
Very cool.
And then lastly, if I go back to the hackathons page again, the European SharePoint conference in Stockholm, which was back in November, when we jump into this one on DevPost, we typically traditionally had a lot of SharePoint developers at this being a SharePoint-focused conference. And again, these guys didn't have much Office development experience. They were very much around the, you know, building against SharePoint, building a SharePoint add-in, and using the SharePoint client-side object model, which, you know, they weren't familiar with Office.js and the APIs.
Necessarily, right,
And Azure AD, because they're using Azure ACS to communicate via the SharePoint APIs right now. And what one of the teams did, the Delve Classifier team, build out this thing called a Delve Classifier. And this was really clever because, and these guys were the winning team in actual fact, is the reason they did this was you can go to Delve and you can see the cards of all the different things that Sonia's working on today and Rob's working on today. and you can click on those cards and open that document. But from the Delve experience in the web browser, I can tag those things and classify them against particular boards in Delve. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in the document itself, I can't say, I want to mark this document with a particular tag or add it to a particular board. So what they went away and did was, you can see here, they actually list all your personal Delve boards and allow you to pin, basically, this document to a board.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of kind of almost building a collection of documents without having to go to the web browser and having it directly within the task pane.
Yeah.
Now, we showed this to the Word team, that, wow, that's a really cool scenario. And you know, we had it on our backlog for later down the path. And at the minute, this team are looking to put that in the Office Store for free as well. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's really neat to kind of see that get up and going like that. And again, they used Office UI Fabric, so it looked really slick.
Nice.
Directly in Word. It kind of, if you scrolled and grew it worked. If you open it up on the iPad, it was nice and flowed really well on the iPad version of Word as well. So they did a lot of work to kind of make it look like Microsoft had built it themselves. And a lot of that was, you know, testament to how easy Office UI Fabric is to
kind of
add into your existing add-ins as well.
Absolutely.
Which was neat.
Yeah. We showed that off actually at AnnDevCon as well, but it wasn't as relevant, obviously, in the intro piece, but they were really intrigued to see that we had a framework out as well.
Yeah, and then one other one from this one was the Team Docs. Now, Team Docs was this is where it was really, really impressive, was a one-person team, which I couldn't believe what Madeline De Silva got done in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And what the scenario there was is that, okay, we're working in Word, we have this underlying OneDrive for Business and SharePoint service where I'm storing my documents. And we have this ability to have workflows running inside of SharePoint. And so what he put together was this ability to spin up a business process workflow from within that Word task pane, but to have almost like steps.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter whether I sent the document to you and you opened it and the task pane came up and it showed, okay, we're now on this step, which is Sonia doing a review of typos that Jeremy put in the document. And then once you approved all that, it would then kick off the workflow in SharePoint to the next level. I could open the document, look at the task pane, and see where it is in that stage.
Oh, very cool.
And so he had prior experience with SharePoint workflow and understanding how to create that aspect, but none in Word. And so he worked really on that presentation layer of kind of kicking off the workflow from within that Word task pane. And then also then having the ability to kind of show what stage it was at in that workflow. And in some cases, without even going to SharePoint, you could trigger it to the next step. So you could push the workflow along.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went in and reviewed document, you're happy, you could go, yep, I'm fine.
Very cool.
In the
and it
background,
would push, that
it would push the workflow
SharePoint.
Along. Yeah. So really allowed you to like not have to leave
Word
to be able to get your work done and not have to understand kind of, you know, the somewhat complexity of where do I actually find the workflow attached to a Word document and so forth. So
right, exactly.
That was really neat. And Marlene actually shared all of that source code too. Now, one of the things with that one, and see if this video, there they go, was the reason the judges decided he didn't win first place was really because the Delve classifier with the Office UI Fabric was just so kind of overwhelming, as in, wow, this thing looks so polished because of the fact they used that framework.
Right.
More recently, Malin has actually gone and put the UI Fabric into this application.
Yeah.
And so here you can, it looks like a developer's build it, which is exactly what I would do if I was building these type of things as well.
Sure.
But it's incredible how much of an improvement it made to the overall impression of this task pane app by putting that in UI Fabric too.
Do we have that to show?
No, not yet. So
okay, is he still working on it? Okay.
So he's got he sent me a screenshot, but he will be updating the GitHub repo with that stuff as well. So we'll make sure that we actually can show that.
We should cover that off.
Kind of
do
that.
For
here,
sure.
Here's the difference between something not using Fabric and using Fabric from an impressions perspective on kind of polish.
Absolutely. And then so what do we have coming up for after the new year, hackathon-wise?
Yeah, so in the new year, if we go to the dev.office.com page for hackathons, we actually have the virtual hackathon that's going on right now, which we'll talk about in a moment. But also we have SP TechCon. So SP TechCon is in Austin in February. We're all going to be there along with Rob Howard and Ina Arenas, who's in the program management team that kind of is really forefront in the Microsoft API or the Microsoft Graph. from that aspect. So we're going to have a challenge there very similar to what we've done at the other events. So,
okay, perfect.
Use our API, use our add-ins. Again, it's a SharePoint orientated crowd, so we're going to try and encourage them to do Office add-ins and consume our Microsoft Graph. So I'm really excited to see what happens at that event because it's a very heavily attended developer orientated conference. So if you're interested in kind of SharePoint or Office, it's a great conference to go to and
awesome.
You know, take part in the hackathon on the Sunday. We're changing up a little bit. At previous hackathons, we've done it in the evening of the first day because we weren't convinced that people would commit to attending the hackathon, come in early.
Right.
With this one, we're actually going to do it the day before the event on the same day that they do their pre-workshops.
Okay.
So we'll get the full day with them, which I'm hoping will mean that we'll get a little bit further down the path in terms of how much they can get to build rather than kind of doing the evening and then get them up early in the morning and code until lunchtime when the deadline is. People like their sleep. Even if we do the whole Sunday, people might be starting to fade a little bit.
But
Of course. So we've got SP Tech on the card right now, and there's a few other events we're looking at a little bit further out that we'll announce through dev.office.com as well on the hackathons page too.
Awesome. Thank you.
So welcome. So, and again, like there's lots of ways you can get started. Dev.office.com, the getting started in the top left.
Yep.
And we've got all the code samples on our training is available in the resources section there as well. So if you haven't explored any of this stuff, this is essentially what they're doing when they go to the hackathon. So it's a good opportunity to kind of get learning how to build inside of Office or how to call our Microsoft Graph is all available on dev.office.com.
Very cool. And hopefully we'll have more and more engagement. I know we've had actually pretty solid engagement throughout all four of the events that we've run this year. I think on average about 40 devs per
event.
Yeah,
we're usually getting about kind of 10 to 20% of the attendees go to the hackathon.
Yeah.
And that for us is perfect.
That
it's
is
a good,
good
size number for having four or five volunteers. It also gives you good odds in terms of
winning
the event as well.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit of fun, kind of, you know, we tend to have like three or four teams that we each kind of look after and unblock and point them to documentation or samples that are relevant to what they're doing.
Yep.
And it's just a great way to see kind of how people think about like what's available, what are those building blocks, and taking them and building something that's really cool and compelling to use.
Yeah, so it's been super exciting for me, I know for you as well, to see more and more folks get going, get started, and actually start building things on the platform.
Yeah,
so.
And then for us, it's interesting to see how they learn and what ways they go about exploring what APIs that are available to help them. So, and then we take that back to Redmond and give that feedback to the guys that are actually building these sites out and the documentation and so forth.
Exactly.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, thank you much.
You're
enjoy the holidays. Happy holidays.
You can see it's nice and warm in Redmond right now. We're both in scarves and hoodies.
It's kind of cold here in Redmond. But yeah, so enjoy the holidays. And
thank you,
we
too.
Thank you. And we'll be back with the Dev Show after the new year. Thank you and happy coding.